Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I hope that you have had a good day today. Today was the day of the March for Life in Washington, D.C. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes later in the broadcast. But this time of year, there is some extra attention given to the fact that in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court made two absolutely horrific decisions. One was Roe v. Wade. The other companion decision, much less well known, is Doe v. Bolton. And Roe v. Wade essentially made it legal to abort babies through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy. This was a reversal by the court of laws that varied from state to state, but most states provided protection for the unborn child. The court just absolutely overruled all that. And I would encourage people who have interest in this subject to go back and read the decision. I've actually read it. And in the decision, the court says that they really don't know about fetal development. They didn't know that much back then. They didn't have nearly as much information as we have now. Now, they still had enough information. They shouldn't have made such a heinous decision. But we now have a ton more information. And in Roe v. Wade, they said that if it becomes clear that this developing product of conception is actually a person, then that would change everything. That would change everything. Go back and read the decision. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was an ally of Planned Parenthood and an advocate of abortion, said herself that the decision was a very bad decision legally, that just in terms of constitutional law, it was a bad decision. It's indefensible on rational grounds. The only defense of it is the screaming emotional rhetoric of the pro-aborts. Because if you go back and just read the decision, in light of what we know now, there is no defense for it. And so that's why it's sad to see even conservative people wanting to fit in to our judicial system, saying that, well, you know, it's established law now. Well, there was a time when the Dred Scott decision that said blacks were not fully human was established law. That was a decision by the Supreme Court that was overturned. And thank God it was overturned. But the fact of the matter is, Roe v. Wade not only made it legal to kill children through all 9 months of pregnancy, but the Doe v. Bolton decision said that you couldn't impose a restriction in the case. Roe v. Wade allowed a few restrictions, but Doe v. Bolton clarified what those restrictions were, which means they made it so there are no restrictions. What they said in Doe v. Bolton was that a woman's health included her emotional well-being and happiness, and if two doctors would say that her carrying the child to term would negatively impact her emotional well-being, not would cause her to have a breakdown, not would cause her to be hospitalized, simply would negatively impact her emotional well-being. Then, through all 9 months, the health exception would allow for her to have an abortion. Just takes two doctors who can be people who make their living killing babies. And if they say, we think she's going to be happier if she has an abortion. We think she would be unhappy if she has this child. Then it's okay to kill it. Folks, that's been the law of the land since 1973. And millions and tens of millions of children have been aborted. This is evil. It's absolutely evil. And the solution, by the way, is not violence. The solution is love. The solution is truth. The solution is for people to take a stand and say, these children deserve protection. And that's what's been happening today in Washington, D.C. and in many other places around the country. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And His home. Folks, I'm delighted to have on the program this evening my guest, Dr. Alveda King. She's the daughter of the late slain civil rights activist, Reverend A.D. King, and his wife, Naomi Barber King. Alveda is the grateful mother of 6 children and a doting grandmother as well. She is a minister of the gospel, serving as director of African American Outreach for the Gospel of Life, headed up by Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. She's a former college professor, holding the Master of Arts degree in business management, and she is an author with undergraduate degrees in journalism and sociology. Her best-selling books are Sons of Thunder, The King Family Legacy, and I Don't Want Your Man, I Want My Own. She grew up, as I said, in the midst of the civil rights movement, led by her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. During those years, her family home in Birmingham, Alabama, was bombed in the heat of the struggle. And then in Louisville, Kentucky, her father's church office was bombed. She was also jailed during the open housing movement. She has been an activist for years. Now she says, I believe that school choice is a pressing civil rights issue. And she's certainly right about that. She also says, however, perhaps the most compelling issue of all is the life of the unborn. Alveda says, faith in God and the commitment to fulfill His will for our lives, not faith in government bureaucracy, is the key to positive action. Have faith in God. This is the message that Alveda carries to the world. We're delighted to welcome her to the broadcast. Dr. King, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us this evening on the broadcast.
Well, it's an honor to join you and your listening audience, and if it's on your website, your viewing and listening audience.
Yes, indeed. Now, tell me, was it familiar to be back there in D.C. for the March for Life?
Well, actually, through the years, I have participated in the March for Life and with the March for Life. This year, of course, leading prayer at the end of the march, mm-hmm. a beautiful experience, just joining so many people who value and appreciate the sanctity of life. So this is the way that the year begins for me every year, certainly with the March for Life, and then quickly followed by the celebration of the birthday of my uncle, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. So just a beautiful time, a beautiful experience.
That's wonderful. I remember as a child watching on the television as your uncle stood there in D.C., really speaking to the heart as well as the minds of this whole nation and calling us to get a vision for what God calls us to.
And my uncle spoke about the American dream. My dad, his brother, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, they were ML and AD, known mm-hmm. as the Sons of Thunder,
yes.
and their father, Daddy King. So that American dream has always meant a lot to my family, and it still does.
Well, I'm so grateful because even as a child, the Holy Spirit used that message to speak to my heart. I was blessed to grow up in a family where there was not any racial animosity, but there certainly was a history that failed in my family to recognize the equality across racial lines. And that's something that in the a few short years after that, God really broke down and helped us to see through our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ that what your uncle was saying was true. It's not about the color of a person's skin. It's about the quality of their character. And when
Interestingly, you say that, I hate to even stop you right there, but there's a scripture, Acts 17:26,
mm-hmm.
and it says, of one blood, God created humanity.
Yes.
Or of one man and one blood, God made the human family. And so we're not even separate races. We're one race. One human race. Ethnic groups, the Bible says, every nation, tribe, and tongue.
And I am so thankful that the family of God is where that is really most evident.
Absolutely.
It's His love that binds us together. Now, just as it was necessary for folks to get over what was called racial prejudice, it is also vital that people recognize the humanity of the unborn child.
Absolutely. The baby in the womb, that's still a little person, a human byproduct, a human person. And my pastor who passed away and went to heaven, Pastor Alan McNair of Believers Bible Christian Church,
mm-hmm.
his son is now the pastor, the lead pastor, but he would say, if it's not a baby, leave it there, nothing will happen. So we know that's a little baby.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that makes all the difference when people really recognize what they're dealing with. A lot of people have been lied to. They've been told it's product of conception. It's just a blob of tissue. It's undifferentiated cells. It's all kinds of stuff that's just not true. It's a baby. It's a child growing in the womb. And that child has its own DNA. That child has its own fingerprints. That child has its own identity and needs to be protected.
Well, I actually fell victim to that lie early in the 1970s, and I did have one legal abortion and one DNC prior to that. I was misguided by a doctor who told me my baby was a blob of tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to repent in 1983 when I became born again,
mm-hmm.
because even the miscarriage that I experienced was from damage from the abortion.
Mm.
And so in 1983, I became born again, and I repented of all of my sins.
Praise
and
God.
Became a voice for life all those years ago in 1983, and I've been proclaiming those truths. My grandfather convinced my mother in 1950 not to have a DNC. She said she wasn't ready to be a mother, they, of course, didn't call those procedures abortion back then.
Mm-hmm.
But my granddaddy said, that's a little girl. I saw her in a dream 3 years ago, and she's going to bless many people. He described me, and I was born looking exactly like granddaddy said.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, I want folks to also pick up on something else that you just said there that's very important, and I hope our listeners will realize this. You grew up in a home with a believing father who was a preacher and a courageous preacher, and yet it wasn't until the 1980s that you personally received Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
When I was 5 years old, I believed Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, died on the cross, and rose again, and I even received water baptism at the age of 5. But I did not take that relationship personally until 1983. I said, wait a minute, he died for my sins. That means I was a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh my goodness. So I confessed those sins. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 1983. Much like my uncle, I call him Uncle ML, Daddy was AD.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle ML knew his daddy's God.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a knock at midnight in the mid-1950s. And he was sitting at his kitchen table, and he said, God, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is too hard. And he says he heard the voice of Jesus say, Martin Luther, stand up for truth, stand up for justice, and lo, I will never leave you, even until the end. And Jesus became personal for Martin Luther King Jr. Same thing happened with my dad, and he was at home, and he was closed in the bedroom, and my mother heard him talking to somebody, and nobody was in there. Turns out he was wrestling with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have those encounters, close encounters of the Holy Spirit kind, I call them. And once we have that and we begin that wonderful relationship with the Lord, it is amazing.
It's all the difference in the world between something that's just theoretical and something that's personal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I am so grateful that God pursued you and drew you to himself and that you've trusted him.
I trust him with my life, my heart, my love. I'll say this. I hope people can understand the way I say it. I don't trust people. I trust the Spirit of the living God to touch the lives of people,
mm-hmm.
and that God will touch my life and that we can do things for God in this life, because the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Not human beings. But we love each other, and God is good and gracious.
Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful for that. God is merciful and patient and kind, but God demands that we repent, doesn't he?
He really does, and that's what it's all about. And I believe some listeners are saying, listen to them. They're saying, God calling God a he. Well, God's not a male or a female. God is a spirit. But God, with ever-loving kindness, has manifested to us as Abba, as Father, through Jesus Christ. And
mm-hmm.
we can come to God as our Father through the love and sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus. So we know God's not a man or a lady. We know that. But we have God as Abba, and I'm very grateful to call God Father.
Amen. Well, I'm glad that he is our Father, and that Jesus, as you said, taught us to call him that. And it's by his Holy Spirit living in us that we, with the spirit of adoption, the Bible says,
Amen.
Are able to call him our Father. I
know
that you love being a parent. You've got more than one or two children, as I mentioned in the introduction. Tell us a little bit about your children, if you would.
Well, they're all adults. There are 6 living and 3 in heaven. And those have names too, Philip, Jessica, and Raphael, absolutely, because I went through healing with Rachel's Vineyard with Priest for Life
mm-hmm.
and became a voice at Silent No More Awareness
mm-hmm.
with Priest for Life. And at Rachel's Vineyard, with that abortion healing, I named those babies, and so I actually have little babies in heaven as well as my 6 living children, and I'm very grateful for that.
That's marvelous. Now, have you, across the years, as you've spoken out on behalf of preborn children, have you encountered a lot of opposition from people who just don't understand?
Well, as just a few days before the march, actually at the march, sometimes people will ask me, how can I publicly talk about my abortions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I do, but by the time I genuinely share my own experience, almost all the time people say, wow, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sometimes people don't immediately get it, but after a while, you know who gets the truth most easily? Little children.
Mm-hmm.
Because in early on when I started my ministry of life and it's and my evangelism, little children would say, a baby's like a slave. In mommy's tummy, it's like a slave because the baby can't say what to do.
Hmm.
I've had little children say that.
Wow. Well, I am so thankful for your faithfulness, not only in saying that these children need to be defended and they need to be protected, but also in pointing people to the Lord. Because if we stopped all abortion, if it all stopped tomorrow, there was no more abortion, and people grew up and didn't trust Jesus and went to hell, that wouldn't really solve the problems of the world, would it?
None of that will do it. And taking the innocent lives of human beings will never solve our problems.
That's right.
We've got to find better ways to do it. I did want to mention, if it's okay with you, because a lot of times you did ask how people respond.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information at alvitaking.com, at priestforlife.org, and civilrightsfortheunborn.org. And I answer questions as much as I'm able to. I've got a new album out called Tender Moments Along with God. It's a nice music album. Several books that are out. So I do everything I can to broadcast truth, but I want to do it in a loving way.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate your doing that. I know my assistant was telling me she had seen a video of you singing O Holy Night. So,
absolutely. During Christmas time.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're able to bless people through your singing as well. You know, I recently preached about the wise men who came after Jesus was born, contrary to a lot of Christmas cards and Christmas mm-hmm. Plays and so forth. If you look at the text there, Jesus was no longer a baby in a manger. He was a child in a home.
And Herod was trying to get them to tell him where to find him, and they went back a different way and went back to their own countries, amazed at this phenomenon that had come into the earth.
And when they did that, it's important to note that when push came to shove and they had to choose, they chose obedience to God over obedience to the government.
Absolutely.
That's a lesson for us, too.
And we've seen so many instances of that throughout the Bible. And over in the book of Acts, they say, do we obey you or do we obey God?
That's right.
I think it's better to obey God. Obedience is better than that in sacrifice. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I appreciate your desire to be obedient to the Lord and your example and your family's example of being willing to put truth and justice ahead of comfort, convenience, and physical safety.
Amen. Amen. And the Lord is our shield, our protector, our comfort. And if anybody who's listening to us is feeling lonely or deserted, just pray and believe and just continue to move forward through 2019. We have marched for life, and we're marching on in the name of Jesus for love.
Praise yes. God. Well, Dr. King, I want to thank you again so much for coming on the broadcast with us. I thank you for the work that you've done there in D.C. Year after year, and grateful for your leadership, grateful for your example, grateful for your courage and faith. And I pray God's...
Thank you. God bless you. Yeah.
God bless you. I hope you'll have a great weekend, and I hope that you'll have a great 2019.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.